How are you, Chelsea?
I am very well, thank you.
Well, hopefully you have a couple cups of coffee there with you, and it's not you have pretty good weather out in California.
We're doing just fine out here. It's still nice and sunny.
All right. Well, tell us about, you've been with several different organizations as an activist for electric cars. Tell us about your history and background. How does one say, hey, I'm going to really push the use of electric vehicles?
Well, I certainly didn't start out to. I actually started working for General Motors when I was 17 years old, just as a way to pay for college, and thought I'd go off and do something else, and ended up really loving the auto industry, and specifically really loving electric cars when I went to work on the EV1 program. And unfortunately, in the 90s, all of the top manufacturers were making electric cars, but none of them really had their hearts in it, and really ended up collecting up the cars, ending their programs, and crushing the vehicles, which utterly dismayed, of course, all of the drivers who absolutely loved these little electric cars that they had. And really, all of the activism came about in an unlikely way. None of us are predisposed to it, but really as an effort to just get the story told. And we ended up trying to draw media attention and hold funerals and different things for the cars, and just really no one would pay attention. And so as a last-ditch effort, a couple of the drivers made a little movie called Who Killed the Electric Car? And we thought we'd burn copies for our parents and move on with our lives. And lo and behold, Sony bought it, and it ended up in theaters. And so popular that we're actually making another one due out next spring about the efforts to bring electric cars back.
Why did the manufacturers kill the programs and crush the cars? Why not hold on to them for the future?
Well, that became the crux of the story. I mean, truly they ended the programs, I think, ultimately because they didn't see a business case at the time. Even though people loved them and there were waiting lists, it just was too much in conflict with all of the large trucks and SUVs that they were selling, because these electric cars kind of called those out a little bit and made them look dirty and different things. As far as taking them back and crushing them, that was the part no one could ever get a straight answer on and became the center of the story. Fine, if you're ending the program, just let the drivers keep them that have them, and when they no longer work, they no longer work. And so the fact that they executed it that way became the interesting part. And to this day, I think they are unclear on why they did it. In the grand scheme, certainly they'll admit it was a PR mistake, and it set them back 10 years. And so we're thrilled they're making electric cars again. A little disappointing it took this long, but it's just good they're back.
Chelsea, I saw that film, and I wondered if they crushed that, to crush the technology, just to be pro-petroleum and to just out of mind, out of sight, out of mind.
Was that? I mean, the way that the California law that required those vehicles was written said, if there's demand, you have to build more cars. And as long as those cars were out there, particularly the EV1, which is very distinctive looking and fast and fun to drive, as long as those were out there, they attracted attention. You couldn't go to 7-Eleven or the grocery store without having a crowd of people around your car. So in their own way, they became their best advertisement. And if you're trying to limit demand so you don't have to make more cars, having those cars out there becomes a liability.
You know, I love people with your mindset, Chelsea, because you were a GM worker, loved doing what you were doing. You thought that they weren't treating this program correctly, so you became an advocate and against them. They changed their mind, and now the electric car is a big deal, and now you're back on board. And even though you were doing everything you can as an activist to bring to make noise about this situation, they said, you know what? This is a smart lady. She knows what she's doing. We're going to give her one of these Chevy Volts and have her check it out and tell us what she thinks. That's pretty cool.
It's very cool, and it's to the credit of GM. I mean, in all of this, I've really tried to strike a balance between calling out the bad decisions but never trashing the companies, GM or any of the other ones. There's nowhere where I've said that any of them suck. And we always knew that they could build good cars if they wanted to. It was just a matter of making them understand that they could and supporting them when they chose to do it. So now that they're back, there are a lot of us behind them that wouldn't be obvious given just a few years ago. And GM was the first automaker to invite back in some of the counterintuitive voices and get perspective, and now have appointed 16 customer advisory board members who all have Volts for 3 months. A few are former EV1 drivers, a few of us are sort of more industry types, and then there are a few that are more virgin consumers that are predisposed to like electric cars but don't have any previous experience with them. And the whole point is to get cars on the road in real-world situations and let us use them like regular cars and give feedback.
How long have you had your Volt, and what do you think so far?
I've had it since last Wednesday, so a few days. It's a great car. It really, really is. I find myself wanting to drive it more than I normally drive right now just because it is so cool and fun. I've really not found anything significant that I don't like about it, and it more than covers my daily driving in electric mode. So it's cool. It's quick. It's not going to blow the doors off a Ferrari, but it's 0 to 60 in 8 or 9 seconds and certainly keeps up no problem. It handles really well and is one of the more fun electric cars of this generation, and I've driven a lot of them.
Well, Chelsea, the concern a lot of folks have is not so much how fast it'll go, but can it get out into traffic? Can you merge? Can you dart when you need to? Does it have that type of maneuverability?
It definitely does. One of the underestimated things about electric cars is their performance, because AC motors have so much torque. So really, passing, accelerating, maneuvering, those types of things are generally better in an electric car.
Well, I know that this is a serious situation because of two things. Number one, companies like General Electric have committed to making orders. GE is going to order 12,000 Volts by 2015, and it wants to add a total of 25,000 to its fleet. I also know it's serious because here, the Lansing Board of Water and Light, which supplies electricity for the mid-Michigan area here, is going to, in association with the federal government, start making available tax incentive programs for people to get recharging stations put in their garages and around their homes. And also, the city of Lansing is one of several cities around mid-Michigan who are going to put these recharging stations around the downtown area and even in some parking spots. So this is real. It's coming, and people should take a good look at it.
It absolutely is. And in fact, Lansing, I love the poetry of this because I have a soft spot for Lansing. It's where the EV1 was built. And it is currently the cheapest place in the country to get a Volt, with the various tax credits, not just for the charging stations, but for the car itself. And I think there's some poetry to that.
Well, probably the biggest roadblock to this becoming a big seller is the not only making sure folks have the charging stations in their home, but the price tag of $41,000.
Absolutely. And at the same time, we have to sort of do some math. Off the $41,000 is a federal tax credit of $7,500. And then in Lansing, that's matched with another $7,500 from the utility, which makes this $41,000 car $26,000, and not dirt cheap, but certainly in the affordable range.
All right, Chelsea is the consulting producer for the sequel documentary Revenge of the Electric Car, and I know that you have a new advocacy group that you're working with. Tell us about that, Chelsea.
I have a tiny little nonprofit called the Lightning Rod Foundation, and it's, you know, small and quiet, but through it I do a lot of the public speaking and advocacy and consumer education and just trying to support this technology.
And if people want more information about the Volt, do you have any idea where they can find that?
It's ChevroletVoltage.com.
All right. It sounds really great. I'm going to be calling you in a couple of weeks so we can learn more about your experiences. Chelsea, it's so early out in California. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a thrill.